to the mid-50s across Indiana. The forecast for East Central Illinois, again, a severe thunderstorm watch in effect for Coles County in our severe weather coverage area until 7 p.m. this evening. This afternoon, numerous showers and scattered thunderstorms are possible. Some storms may be severe and produce large hail. The high 72, the wind out of the south from 10 to 15 miles per hour. This evening, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms. After midnight, there's another chance of showers. The low 50, the wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of morning showers and a chance of showers and isolated thunderstorms. Tomorrow afternoon, look for a high of 68. The wind light and from the northwest tomorrow. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 52. The wind light and from the northwest. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high in the low 70s. The wind from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday night through Tuesday, partly cloudy with lows in the upper 40s and highs in the upper 60s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 60s to 70 degrees. Most locations reported a cloudy sky. Many were experiencing rain at the top of the hour. O'Hare Airport had rain in 62 degrees at the top of the hour. It was 69 at Rockford, in Bloomington 63, in Mattoon 65, Carbondale 62. Light rain was reported at South Bend, 66 degrees there. In Lafayette, light rain and 65. In Indianapolis, rain reported at the top of the hour, 63 degrees. In Terre Haute, it was partly sunny and 70 degrees. Willard Airport reported a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, 65 degrees. The dew point, 58. The relative humidity, 78%. The wind out of the west at 10. The barometric pressure, 29.92. And falling in at 1239, 65 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. For the second time in 3 years, the president of the University of Illinois has resigned. In a mass email yesterday, University Trustees Chair Chris Kennedy announced Michael Hogan would step down in July. This announcement comes after weeks of criticism from faculty over an enrollment management plan. More than 100 Urbana faculty members had signed two recent letters urging Hogan to step down. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert spoke with Kennedy late yesterday about the announcement and moving forward with former administrator Robert Easter at the helm.
Was this something of President Hogan's choosing, or did mounting pressure lead you to determine that this would be the best choice?
Well, first of all, the resignation that was announced today was actually first proffered on Sunday. Mike Hogan, the president of the university, and I met together in his residence in Chicago, and he indicated at that time that he wanted to resign as the president of the University of Illinois.
What was your reaction to that?
I told him he couldn't leave unless he helped find a replacement, and he immediately identified Bob Easter, and then we were able to vet that name with some of the faculty leadership, the folks who are involved in our foundation, alumni association, the senior team, and it was unanimous. Everybody wanted to embrace Bob's leadership as the next president of the university.
A week ago at a trustees meeting, we had a faculty member discussing in a revised enrollment management report, and there was applause after that report. Based on direction this seemed to be going, has this come as a shock to you?
No, not at all. I think, in fact, that applause that you mentioned was a bit of a triggering event. I think Mike concluded at that time that much of the agenda that he originally arrived at the University of Illinois to pursue had been completed, and that it was time now for somebody else to develop a strategic plan that would guide the future of the university. Bob Easter is a natural choice because of the incredible work he did in developing strategic plans for the Urbana campus via the Stewarding Excellence program, which he developed as chancellor of the Urbana campus.
Has President Hogan discussed this any more at length as to why he felt this was the right time to step down?
I think he really concluded that the agenda that he had been pursuing, whether it was cutting $40 million out of the operating budget or recruiting a world-class team of leaders for the university, replacing the entire upper echelon, rationalizing HR, figuring out a way to create best-in-class service in the centralized IT function, making sense out of our union negotiations. And, you know, that was his agenda, and he accomplished it. And now we need to look forward, and I think he concluded that somebody else ought to go through that planning process that will guide the university long beyond the period that he originally thought about being here as our leader.
Are you concerned about the U of I's reputation following the admissions scandal and now the sudden resignation of President Hogan?
I mean, I've become very familiar with the greatness which is present throughout the University of Illinois, and I think its reputation is developed not by the trustees, not by the president and the central administration, but that reputation is developed on a campus-by-campus, college-by-college basis. And there's nothing that we could do, no matter how bad it was, that would, you know, hurt the reputation of the School of Engineering or our prowess in computational science or diminish our finance or accounting reputation on a national and international basis. You know, the great power of our ag program, the fact that we run the largest medical school in the United States, and those are all wonderful things that contribute to our reputation far beyond anything that the trustees could do.
Are you worried about student recruitment after what appears to be a period of instability and disruption in leadership?
No, sir. The students don't come to a university to because of the strength of the trustees or who the president is. They're making that decision based on, you know, the rankings of the individual colleges and campuses. And the truth and the proof in that statement really comes from the incredible spike and increase in applications to the University of Illinois this year. And what we're really proud of is the focus spike and applications and important target areas that, you know, we have identified.
President-designate Robert Easter will serve 2 years. What are your expectations of him over that time?
I think what we want from Bob Easter for these 2 years as president of the university is the same thing that he gave us while he was chancellor of the Urbana campus. That is a sweeping review of the university's operations, a good strategic plan leading us into the future, all conducted without rancor or acrimony, and we know that he's capable of doing that, and we look forward to supporting him and his leadership.
He had probably been close to retirement a couple of years ago. Could you talk a bit about his mood after accepting this and willingness to stay on as an administrator for a bit longer?
You know, Bob is a wonderful example to all of us because consistently he has put the needs of the university and the needs of the state before his own personal needs. And yet again, he's doing that now.
Before President Hogan resigned, he spoke of a desire to be responsive to the community's needs and foster more open communications. What will you do as a trustee chair to make sure that happens?
Well, I think one of the things that we're counting on is the fact that now the university upper echelon is fully staffed so that when the committees meet, there are vice presidents or chancellors at each of those meetings that now can develop relationship with the trustees, who, and that line of communication will now be open in a way it wasn't open during the period of instability when, you know, so many of those people departed the university. And we have great secondary channels now so that we can ensure that we are staying in communication with the important aspects of the university's leadership.
Had the recent conversations with President Hogan concerned these letters from faculty that were calling for his resignation?
You know, the president concluded that the agenda that he started out to pursue here had largely been concluded, and that, you know, it was the best time to leave the university to allow somebody else to create a strategic plan looking to the future.
Does he know what he was doing after July 1st? Is it possible he teaches on campus?
His goal is to teach on campus, to do the thing that is the first love of his life, which is pursue research, you know, around that special time in American history when the Marshall Plan was shared with the world. And Mike is the great authority on that, and I hope he'll continue to teach.
Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert. He spoke with University of Illinois Board of Trustees Chair Chris Kennedy. This afternoon, the board's executive committee will vote to formally accept Hogan's resignation and appoint Robert Easter as president-designate. The outgoing president would be paid $285,000 a year when he moves to a faculty position under an agreement expected to be approved by school trustees. Trustees meeting today are expected to accept his resignation. Hogan was paid $620,000 a year as president and has more than 3 years left on his contract. Under the terms of the agreement, he would forego all but $67,500 of that from that contract. Trustees are also expected to sign off on a $450,000 a year contract for Robert Easter. He has said he will work for 2 years. The U.S. Senate yesterday passed the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act, or STOCK Act. It bars insider trading by members of Congress and the executive branch. NPR's Tamara Keith has more.
Congresswoman Louise Slaughter, a New York Democrat, has been working on this issue for years, 6 years.
It was a good bipartisan bill. I think it's probably, unlike anything else, it's going to pass this year.
It only got 2 no votes in the House and passed with unanimous consent in the Senate. That kind of overwhelming support is usually reserved for naming post offices after war heroes. But after a 60 Minutes story aired last fall highlighting the issue of members of Congress benefiting from non-public information, the bill took off. Scott Brown, a Massachusetts Republican, is one of the bill's authors in the Senate.
We have to live by the same rules that everybody else lives by. It's kind of a no-brainer for me. When I saw the 60 Minutes piece, I was like, really?
In addition to making it crystal clear that insider trading by members of Congress, their staffs, and some in the executive branch isn't allowed, the bill also adds a big new dose of sunshine. Congressional and executive branch stock trades will now have to be reported electronically within 30 days. Before, it was only once a year and on paper forms that were hard for the public to access. Many had been hoping this bill would go even further. Craig Holman, a lobbyist for Public Citizen, says earlier versions were watered down.
I mean, it's still a useful bill, but it omits 2 of the strongest and most desperately needed ethics provisions that were in the original Senate Act.
One would have required people selling insider information about Congress to hedge funds to register, like lobbyists. Another would have made it easier to prosecute public corruption. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
WILL News reporters and contributors won 6 awards in the 2011 Associated Press Journalism Excellence Contest, including Best Investigative Series, Best Documentary Series, and Best Sports Story. Reporters Sean Powers, Jeff Bossert, Jim Meadows, Tom Rogers, and Dave Dickey, along with commentator Lisa Braltz and Pam Dempsey of CU Citizen Access, were recognized in the contest's Downstate Radio Division. Congratulations to them and to you for making this coverage possible.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 23rd of March, 2012. It was on this day, 1775, a lawyer named Patrick Henry spoke at the Second Virginia Convention in Richmond. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson were both there. The debate was over whether or not to raise a militia and arm Virginia to fight against the British. And Patrick Henry delivered the line, "Give me liberty, or give me death." At least some people thought he did. But it wasn't until 1816 that it was written down by his biographer, who talked to people who'd been there. It's the birthday of Kim Stanley Robinson, born in Waukegan, Illinois, 1952, science fiction writer, author of the Orange County Trilogy, author of stories set on Pluto and Mercury, stories in the past and the future, on the slopes of the Himalayas, on the ice of Antarctica. It's the birthday of the French author Roger Martin de Gaulle, born in Neuilly-sur-Seine, France, in 1881, who chronicled the fictional Thibault family in a series of novels, Les Thibault, considered a roman fleuve, a French term that means river novel, a series of novels written by one author about the same few characters, a saga where the historical backdrop plays a prominent role in the fiction. It's the birthday of Louis Adamek, born in what is now Slovenia, 1899, emigrated to this country at the age of 14, author of many books about immigrant life in America, the labor movement, travel. Louis Adamek, who said, "My grandfather always said that living is like licking honey off a thorn." And it's the birthday of Fanny Marrett Farmer, born Boston, 1857, known for publishing the first cookbook in American history that came with simple, precise cooking instructions, also offered advice on how to set a table and scald milk and remove stains and clean a copper boiler. Here's a poem for today by Carl Dennis entitled "To Happiness." If you're not approaching, I hope at least you're off to comfort someone who needs you more, not lost or wandering aimlessly or drawn to the shelter of well-lit rooms where people assume you've arrived already. If you're coming this way, send me the details, the name of the ship, the port it leaves from, so I can be down on the dock to help you unload your valises, your trunks and boxes, and stow them in the big van I'll have rented. I'd like this to be no weekend stay where a single change of clothes is sufficient.